Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave the Computer Guy from Tex in the Berg with us this morning. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
Listen, Dave, what a night last night as far as storms. We usually start off talking about the weather, and the weather is all anybody can talk about this morning.
That was a whopper of a thunderstorm last night, Ted, and what a lightning show it Mother Nature put on. And it, you know, about 2 or 3 hours of nonstop lightning and heavy rain. And the University of Mary Washington has a weather center on the roof of one of the buildings. And I was checking the statistics from it, and we got somewhere around 3 inches of rain in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, there was one lightning bolt a second. So 60 a minute,
wow.
Lightning flashes. And so that was something.
I can believe it. Just to sit and watch it all taking place was just, it really was something. I even wondered if we'd end up doing a show today. I thought either some equipment here is going to get hit or you're going to be up all night and busy with things. It seems as far as damage goes that I have heard that there's a lot of trees down and things like that, but I think technically, at least around here, we came out okay.
As far as I know, all our businesses that we manage are up. I checked last night and this morning, and if anything goes on, we get messaged and paged and everything. We get all kinds of alerts. Everything looks good right now. I'm expecting a busy day today because
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people with something going on with a lightning storm like this. There's going to be some damage somewhere. I know that for a fact. But up north in Sterling, they had a tennis ball size hail. And so I seen some hail in downtown.
Okay.
But nothing, you know, major, not, you know, golf ball or tennis ball size hail like it was to the north. But finally, the Weather Service, the computer modeling, got this storm right. They have
yeah.
been wrong so many times this summer. This storm, they pretty much got right on the money. And hopefully there's just not too much, you know, damage from this. And the rain, torrential rains.
Oh, it was, and they did get it right. Like you say, they talked about that this would be a storm later in the evening, and it was. And boy, it was, but tennis ball size hail, that can really do some damage.
It smashed a car windshield. I saw it on the news, and it showed the car, and it smashed the rear windshield, the rear window of this one car in Sterling, and it was about the size of a tennis ball, and that's scary. I mean, that's going to damage anything it hits.
Oh, yeah, totally. You were in my head last night as soon as it started thundering and I saw the lightning. I unplugged my laptops and just used the battery with them last night, just figuring we're not going to take any chances here.
I was actually in the middle of the storm. I was using my laptop, but with the power cord unplugged.
Yep, that was
it.
Me. Yep.
And but the past few weeks, I was thinking about you some because I know you love hot weather
oh,
so
I love
much.
It. Yes.
And this has been a hot summer so far, and really hot. The heat and humidity. I am not sad to see it go.
Most people aren't, and most people, when I say I really like the hot weather, and I'll say no, I really like the hot weather, and they all say, you know, I don't like it, you know, as hot as it's been, but I've been smiling a lot this summer.
Yeah, and sometimes with this heat and humidity, we get a storm like we had
yeah.
last night. They bubble up. This was a little bit unusual to have something this electric, so to speak, this much lightning. This was a tremendous lightning storm. That's why I'm fearful that this morning and this afternoon we're going to find out. Okay, yeah, there are a lot of people with fried electronics.
Yeah, you just looked at it. It was like you say, it was just so spectacular, and it kind of went away, and then it came back, and we haven't seen a storm like that in a long time.
That's what my wife and I were talking about last night. We haven't seen one this something like this in quite a while, and it did come and go in waves. We thought it was over,
yeah.
Then something would redevelop, and all of a sudden the lightning and thunder are back. And so this was something. I hope this weekend we don't have anything like this again.
Yeah, no, it seems like there are storms in the forecast, but they're going to be more scattered in night. When you looked at radar last night, it was just so big. That was the thing.
It was a big red blob.
Yeah.
It just moved. It developed over Fredericksburg and set there, and it sort of meandered around. It didn't have any real direction for it. Like, okay, this storm is moving 30 miles an hour from west to east or whatever. It just meandered around and just dumped on us.
Well, it's the end with the Labor Day weekend, kind of the unofficial end of summer. But I think it's one of the things, if you've lived around here for a while, you realize that it's not the end of hurricane season. And for really the next couple of months, we still are in line, and you have to keep your eye on the Atlantic Ocean and hurricanes that can come up the coast.
Yes, and there are a few things brewing out in the Atlantic potentially over the next week or two. We'll have to keep our eye on that. There is a potential for Sunday for a stronger thunderstorm as a cold front comes through.
Yeah.
At least the computer models are showing that. And next week is going to be gorgeous, though. Sunny in the mid to upper 70s, low humidity, a north breeze. That's my kind of weather.
Your day. I've had my day. Now your day is here.
Yep. Yeah. You've had your 100 degrees and high humidity. I want my 75 degrees.
It's coming. It is coming, Dave. Dave, the computer guy with Tex and the Burke here this morning. TexandTheBurke.com. We'll take a quick break. We've got a lot of interesting things, a lot of topics to talk about this morning, Dave.
Yep. The end of summer. People are trying to get out of town for Labor Day and staying safe with tech and. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about after the break.
We do. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with Dave the Computer Guy this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy here this morning with Tex in the Burg in downtown Fredericksburg. TexandTheBurg.com if you want to get some information on having Dave look at your stuff and oversee what you got. Or you can call them at 371-2874. A lot of people going to be on the road traveling over the long weekend, Dave. And safe traveling with tech is something you have to keep in mind.
Yep, this is a big travel day today. And I noticed traffic wasn't too... Actually, it seemed a lot less than normal in downtown and, you know, riding around Princess Anne and Caroline
yeah.
streets this morning. So I think a lot of people are taking off early for Labor Day and traveling to Virginia Beach or Ocean City or the mountains and just getting away for a few days. And wanted to talk some this morning about safe traveling with your tech, whether it's tablets, laptops, iPhones, Androids. Just don't leave them in your car. We've talked about this before. When the sun's out and your windows are up, it's 130, 140 degrees inside your car. That is not good for electronics. Keep them out of your car. And in a hotel, most hotels have a little in-room safe. Use that. You want to make sure, though, one thing, Ted, is when you do use that in-room safe, the code, if it's a generic security code to get into it, like 0000.
Yeah.
Call the front desk, have security reset it to something else. And it's very easy for them to do. Keep your electronics in the safe. And one thing I like to do when I travel is I always put the Do Not Disturb sign on my door, whether I'm in the room or not. Criminals tend to avoid a room with that on it. They're not they, They don't want to break into a room or whatever to when they think somebody's in it. And so whether I'm in the room or not, mm-hmm. I always put the do not disturb sign up.
That's a great idea. I've never thought of that. That really
is. And if I need towels or sheets or whatever, I just find a maid and just get a spare set. And I can make my own bed, so to speak. And you can always get more towels
yep.
and washcloths and everything, and just keep that do not disturb sign up.
I'd also like it. Those are two things I've written down, Dave, about resetting the safe if it's just a generic code. Because if it is the generic code, it's like you're not even in a safe.
Much good.
No.
And if somebody gets into your room, you know, and it's 11111 or all zeros
yeah.
or whatever, or 1234, they can reset it for you to something else. And so it's not perfect, but it's safer than just leaving it out on top of a desk.
Yeah. Yep. You never know. And just, you'd think with on a weekend or on a time like this, when people are traveling and you're not paying that close of attention, that's when I guess a lot of these cyber thieves do find it easier, that you're not paying close attention to a lot of different things when you're out and you might be doing things on a public Wi-Fi that you would never normally do.
Yes, and that's where some other things can come into play, Ted. When you're traveling, most people do not do this. They will go to a hotel, they will plug their cell phone into a charger right into a wall outlet. They will have their laptop plugged in right into the wall outlet. They have portable surge protectors, Ted. Very small, lightweight, and you can plug those into the AC, then plug your equipment into it. And that's another layer of protection, because we don't think about that. And I know in the past I've done this. You're tired. You've
yeah.
been driving all day. You get into the hotel. You take your laptop and you just plug it in to charge it up, or your cell phone. You just plug it in, charge it up. Get a portable surge protector. They're $10 or $15. You can keep them for years, you know, a few years. Just throw it in your suitcase. Bring it with you. That can make a big difference if something happens in that hotel.
Yeah.
As far as a storm or a power surge or something. And it's another layer of protection.
You're right. We don't think about that. And these, like you mentioned, with not leaving your computer or a cell phone in the car just because it heats up, these, as hardy as these things are, things like heat and that can impact it pretty quickly. And if it gets too hot, or you have a surge, all of a sudden, you've got a paperweight.
Yeah, and when people are traveling, if they're at Virginia Beach, if the sun's out, anything in their vehicle is going to be boiling hot. It's going to be 130, 140 degrees in that vehicle. And I know people are tired. People want to get to the beach. They want to get to their favorite restaurant, and they're in a hurry.
Yeah.
They put things off and push things they should be thinking about to the side or to the back of their mind. Don't leave your cell phones and laptops and tablets in your vehicle. Put them in a safe. And if you don't want the safe, a lot of hotels will actually have a safe deposit box. Some of them that you can actually store stuff
mm-hmm.
in. An expensive cell phone, if you just bought a $1,000 cell phone or something like that, or a $1,000 tablet, you know, put it in a safe or a safe deposit box in the hotel. Do not leave it in your car. And just be careful with your electronics, especially if you go down to the beach. I've seen so many people when you're on the sand, if the wind's blowing, they'll have an expensive iPhone or Android out there, or a digital camera. And with a digital camera, especially with interchangeable lenses,
yeah.
You get sand in that thing's toast.
That's it.
And
yeah.
you're going to be looking for another camera. And you need to protect the stuff, especially on windy days on the beach. And For my money, I wouldn't do it. Unless it is absolutely calm, just gorgeous weather.
Yeah.
No, I would not take a digital camera on the beach.
When you mentioned the beach a second ago, I wrote that down because I wanted to ask you. Because I thought, especially though with cell phones, sometimes it's better just to not have it, to take that picture, like you say, to be around the heat, to be around the sand. Just leave it locked up in the room and know that it's going to be okay. And you might not have pictures, but you've got the memories.
Yeah, and what I've done a few times in the past is have a plastic Ziploc bag that I have my cell phone in, and it's safe. It's out of the sand and moisture and everything at the beach, and occasionally just pull it out real quick, take a couple pictures, put it back in, then cover it up, put it in a bag out of the sun. And it with the Ziploc little plastic bag, it's protected from the sand.
Yeah.
Put it in another bag on top of that to protect it from the sun. And, you know, just use it very sparingly if you can't break free from it altogether. Because I like to take pictures as much as the next person. Okay, you're at the beach. That's one of the things you want to do is take pictures. But just do so smartly and sparingly.
Because like you say, we have so much money invested in something like this, or like you say, a digital camera, and best to always be safe in these situations.
Yeah, with a digital camera, there's a lot of intricate small parts to these, especially the upper scale ones with the interchangeable lenses. You get sand in that. That's bad news,
yep.
And that's going to be a lot of money down the drain.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex and the Berg here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We've talked about this before, but it always just amazes me, Dave, how technology has changed the speed of things. You and I go back to dial-up days, and boy, the things that when we last night I was doing something and I got knocked off the internet a couple of times with some glitches with the storm and all, and it slows things down and we get so you know, annoyed by something but that. But when you think about where we've come in recent years, it's just amazing.
Yep, Ted, I've got some pretty interesting statistics for you. Going back 20 years, if we went back to 2004, the average CPU speed on a CPU scale, so to speak, I'm going from 1 to 100,000 in this range, so to speak, the average CPU score 20 years ago was about 350.
Okay.
And if you correlate this, a CPU for a laptop or a PC is sort of like an engine for a vehicle.
Okay.
And if you take sort of a 2004 Corvette, say it had plus or minus 350 horsepower, right around that. I think some of the models back in 2004 had just a little bit more than that. But just say average 350 horsepower for a Corvette. And about 350 for the score of the average CPU speed back in 2004. If we bring that forward 20 years, the average CPU score for 2024, and you correlate that to how many horsepower that VET would have in 2024 if it was just as fast, that 2024 Corvette, Ted, would have 25,000 horsepower.
That's amazing. That is just amazing, isn't it?
Can you imagine pulled up at a stoplight on Caroline Street and having a Corvette with 25,000 horsepower in it? Oh my gosh, that's how fast the CPUs have gotten, and that's just the average speed.
Right.
And some are much, much faster than that. It would be equal to a Corvette with 50 or 75,000 horsepower. And it's just gone through the roof, the speed of CPUs. But when I ran these statistics, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, thousands and thousands of horsepower in a Corvette. and to equal how fast a CPU is these days. That interested me, and I was like, I'm going to talk to Ted about this.
That is fascinating, because when you did the 20 years later and you started with 25, my thought immediately was, it would be 2,500. That's a lot. No, 25,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 25,000 horsepower. That is absolutely crazy. And we take it for granted, yeah, because, and especially younger people, because they grow up with this stuff. This is all they've known. But, with us back in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have, this kind of lightning fast stuff, the solid state drives, the super fast CPUs and all this memory and everything. This is some really, really fast stuff, and it's just getting faster and faster. Companies like NVIDIA, AMD, I hope if anyone invested in stock, they bought those two companies years ago, because they've gone through the roof, and they're making their chips so small, so powerful, it's just changed everything, and we're in a whole new world, technology world right now.
And it's just getting faster. There's no reason to believe that it just continues to go even faster.
And Ted, the next 5 or 10 years, things are going to change in ways we cannot even imagine. It's going exponentially. In 5 or 10 years, we can't even dream of some of this stuff that's going to be occurring.
Now, I remember I'd get up in the mornings and would get up real early, and you would dial in, and it took a couple minutes. And
with Earthlink or AOL dial-up and the modem making that noise and everything, yeah. And then the DSL came out, and I remember 20 some years ago working for a high-tech company in downtown that sold DSL, and it was like 1 or 2 or 3 megs of data bandwidth. And we thought that was something, and now we're talking about gig or multi-gig internet connections, and it's just going to keep getting faster.
Smaller and faster. That's how everything the technology is just amazing.
And we've been pushing people, especially with kids going back to school, parents buying laptops. You can get a really nice laptop for $300, $400, $500. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars. And it wasn't that long ago, thousands of dollars wouldn't buy a laptop as good as a $350 one today.
Mm. You've had a front row seat to all of this, because you were one, you played around with this, in the early days. And so you really have
70s.
Seen it.
I was in computers and computer classes and everything. So things have exploded.
I remember the first time we set up an email account, and to get an email, to get email from someone was so exciting. I mean, texting we knew nothing of that. And now.
And people with AOL, you've got mail.
Yeah.
And you'd hear the ding, and you'd check your email, see who's emailed you, and it's a whole new world.
Amazing. 350 to 25,000. Wow.
Yep.
Dave the Computer Guy, text in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg, 371-2874, or textintheberg.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA, many more things. We'll talk about scams and all kinds of things with Dave the Computer Guy this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave the Computer Guy in this morning with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. One of our favorite subjects, Dave, to talk about every month is scams and avoiding scams on your PC, because unfortunately, there's always something new, and there's always a scam out there. Unfortunately,
yes, Ted, and it seems the people that fall prey to them, and so many of the times it happens, it's at the absolute worst time. They're busy. They're doing a bunch of different things at the same time, multitasking. They click on a link. They click on an email or something without thinking, and boom, something happens, and something's popped up, and their computer goes crazy. And there's a few things that people can do. Number one, most people that get into trouble on the internet, it is stuff they've clicked on. Yep. They opened an email they shouldn't have. It's a suspicious-looking email, and they're still curious about it, and even though it does look a little bit off. And so let me just see what it is, and they'll click on it. No. If you're at all unsure about an email, don't click on it. Investigate it a little bit further. Do not open it. And if you're not expecting an email from this person that they claim to be, make a phone call. Say, did you send this to me with this strange attachment? And they'll be like, no. And so you just saved yourself possibly from getting hacked. And also, keep your computer, your laptop, your PC updated. That's what a lot of these updates and fixes and patches do, is help secure your computer. So make sure it's updated. Change your passwords regularly. Do not use one password for all your accounts. So if your password's compromised, they have access to everything you've got. Make sure you've got a firewall installed, a good antivirus. But the most important thing is a person's behavior on their computer. Don't do stupid things. Don't click on links just to see where this leads and maybe it'll be interesting or whatever. Yeah, it might be interesting and you might be hacked and have your bank account cleaned out. Just be very, very wary of what you click on. It's sort of like walking down a strange street and just opening doors. You know, you might open a door and someone's waiting on the inside for you.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good. So just be careful of your behavior on a computer, and that will go a long way in helping protect you.
I think that the theme today has to be don't do stupid things. I like that. That would look good on a T-shirt or on a poster, just as a reminder. Because sometimes... You're right. Sometimes you can tell a lot if you see you get an email and has a strange attachment. And that's the one thing. If it's especially the attachment has something at the end that just doesn't look right. The best thing to do is call.
These cyber criminals are really slick. They'll prey upon people's emotions. Everyone likes a delivery, and they'll send out an email saying, Your package is on its way. Click here and enter some information, and you can track it. Well, did you order something? Do you have a package on the way? If not, this is probably a bogus thing. Do not click on it. And your FedEx this or your Amazon package that. And if you didn't order it, don't open it. I would never open it to begin with. If you did order something from Amazon, go to Amazon and look at your orders. And you can see, you can track it that way. You don't need to track it through some bogus email.
That seemed to be one of the more popular ones now, because I have in the last week gotten things talking about, we've got questions about your order, or it's here, and we want one more step to ship it. We want you to click on, and like you say, I didn't order it. Or it's talking about my subscription to something is about to end. I never had a subscription, so
Your credit card is about to expire. Please update your credit card information. And people will do it. People will say, oh, let me give them my updated credit card information. And voila, they somebody else has all their credit card information.
Well, and sometimes now, maybe in the olden days, when you would catch a virus, something would pop up right away. That doesn't always happen now. You can be infected and don't realize it for a while.
Yes, sometimes you'll get a pop-up. Sometimes your computer will just run slower.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't know. And there is a could be a keylogger or something tracking in the background with, unbeknownst to you. and it's getting all kinds of information out of your computer, and you don't even know it. And so, you know, so some of the telltale signs, like we said, are pop-ups, are sluggishness, and maybe some occasional blue screen. But sometimes there are no outward symptoms. It's something is on your computer and you don't know it.
Which is, and then you really don't know if it, and it's such a terrible feeling when you realize, like you say, it's either things start popping up or it's running slow. When I notice that, is it best just to turn it off and bring it over to you?
Absolutely, Ted. Well, if not us, your own tech support, whoever, wherever this is. If you think something is going on with your computer, the first thing I would do is press the power button in for 5 seconds. That will turn it off instantly. Then go from there. Then make a phone call to your tech support. Tell them what the symptoms are and what the best course of action should be after this. And especially do this if something happened. Okay, you clicked on something and all of a sudden everything went crazy on your desktop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your whole laptop or PC just went crazy. Turn it off. That is the absolute first thing you do. It's not going to improve by being up and running with this stuff going on with it. Turn it off instantly and make a phone call to your tech support.
It's all scary stuff, but like you said, you don't wait. Because it's not going to get better. It's going to have to be looked at by someone who's
can do it. Every second, if you have a virus, every second that computer's on, it's just going to get worse. And they could be stealing passwords from your accounts, anything on your computer that can be stolen and downloaded. Turn it off instantly.
I know there are different types of USB ports or flash drives, and there are quite the choices out there these days.
Yeah, this is another thing I wanted to talk about because I've seen it a lot lately. Because every laptop, every PC has a USB port.
Yeah,
and a lot still have some USB 2 ports. And people have a flash drive, whether it's a USB 2 or 3, and they'll just plug it into the first port they find and try to move files to it. And if it's a USB 2 port, that's going to take forever. When you get a laptop or a PC, you want to learn a little bit about it, what the different ports are. Is this a USB 2? Is this a USB 3 or a 3.1?
Yeah.
There's different varieties of 3, so to speak. But never a 2 is okay if you want to put a USB wireless thing for a keyboard and mouse or something like that. That's fine. But for a flash drive, especially if you're moving a lot of data back and forth, look for your USB 3 port and also use a USB 3 flash drive. You will save so much time. If you're moving like 50 gigs back and forth or something, backing something up, you want a USB 3 flash drive and plug it into a USB 3 port.
Interesting. I did not know that. So I want to look for a USB 3 flash drive for speed.
Yeah, it might have the little letters SS next to it for super speed.
Okay.
Or it might have on the inside, if you look inside the USB port, it might be blue. And that's a 3, that would be a USB 3. Or if it says SS, that's a variety of a USB 3. You want to look for those two things. And you can just look up for the make and model of your computer and the ports on it. And it'll point to, okay, this is a USB 2, this is a USB 3. Just make note of that and make sure when you're using a flash drive, you use the USB 3.
Most computers now don't have a CD drive, and so if you have programs, especially on a CD drive, do you need to get something to plug in so you can load something up on a CD?
An external DVD reader writer, and a lot of laptops they have stop putting them in. They're smaller, they're lighter,
yeah.
And CDs cost money, so they can save money. They don't put them in laptops anymore, and it makes the laptop lighter and smaller. But fortunately, these external CD and DVD reader writers are very inexpensive. They're $25, $30, $35, and you can get one. Just keep it in a drawer somewhere. When you need it, pull it out and put your DVD or CD in it, plug it into your laptop, and you're good to go.
Yep, that's one of the easy ways, because I just realized that the other day I needed to put a program in, and I realized, hey, this computer doesn't have, and I had forgotten that. You take it for granted. But and that's been going on for a number of years as computers get smaller.
Yeah, they've been phasing out CDs and DVD reader writers and laptops for a while. Everything's gotten smaller, more portable. You still can get them, but you have to look for them. And they mostly come in 17-inch laptops, but you have to look for them because a lot of laptops do not have them anymore.
Yeah. Dave, the computer guy here this morning from Techs in the Berg, techsintheberg.com. One more topic here, and we'll take one final break and wrap this up. The best paid and free antivirus, because I know there's both out there, and you always have a good list of both for us.
Yeah, free antivirus I would only recommend for a residential user who's not doing a lot of banking, stock trading, stuff like that on the internet. If you're just doing web browsing and, you know, light email and things like that, AVG, Avast, Avira, there's several good free antiviruses that you get them, you install them, they'll occasionally pop up trying to sell you something. That's par for the course of anything free. They want to sell you something. You got to put up with an occasional pop-up. But they're really, really good antiviruses, and for free, you can't beat them. And they're sufficient for most residential users. But if you use your laptop or home PC for work also, and you do a lot of online banking, stock trading, you know, secure stuff, you might want to move up to a paid version, and for something like that, I'd recommend Bitdefender. It only costs $1 or $2 a month per computer usually, and really, really good antivirus. Very, very makes your computer much, much safer. It's some of the best stuff you can get. It's for most of our business clients, we use Bitdefender, and I really like it. It's inexpensive, and it's one of the best, if not the best, out there.
You were the one who you recommended to me AVG, just because I don't do banking and that kind of thing on my computer, and it has been great. And the free version of that, and I've had that for years now, thanks to Dave the Computer Guy.
Yeah, AVG, Avast, these are really, really good free antivirus, and they're sufficient for most residential users. Like I said, if you do a lot of secure stuff, they offer paid versions of those, plus, you know, Bitdefender if you want something extra secure. There's no reason for anyone who's on the internet not to have a antivirus, especially you can get one for free.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say there's too much at stake in just the things we've talked about today to not have one. You just really put yourself at risk.
Yes, and it's unnecessary. You can't beat free.
Exactly. Dave the Computer Guy here with Techs in the Berg. techsintheberg.com. They've got a great website, and we'll take care of you and answer your questions. Techs in the Berg. Dave the Computer Guy here. One final break, and we'll conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy, here this morning from Tex in the Berg. TexInTheBerg.com is the website. Before we get out of here this morning, backups. Talk a little bit about backups, because we talked about best paid and free antivirus. But what do you recommend, Dave, for backups for us?
Oh gosh, this is an important one too, Ted. This is important, or just as important, or maybe even more important than the antivirus, is to have a decent backup.
Yeah.
One of the best, least expensive backups out there right now is iDrive, and it's spelled just like it sounds. It's very inexpensive. You can get a 5 terabyte family plan, so to speak. It's one user account, but you can put it on, you know, 5 or 8 PCs or laptops in your house.
Okay.
It's $70 a year for 5 terabytes. That's probably going to be sufficient for almost any family. That's a lot of storage. And for $70 for the first year, it goes up to $100 after that per year. That's still a bargain. That's still, you know, $1 or $2 a month per computer. Less than that, depending on how many computers you have. And to get peace of mind and know everything is backed up and secure, for a price of less than a cup of coffee a month,
yeah,
you can have, you know, a good backup for your computer. There's no reason not to do that. And 5 terabytes is a lot of storage. Most families will not need anywhere close to that. The ones that do need it, the only way you would have it is you would have a ton of pictures and an absolute ton of music. And you can upgrade it to 10 terabytes for just a little bit more money. But 5 terabytes is going to suffice for most families. And for the price of a cup of coffee, do this.
Because when your computer fails, and it will, to lose everything.
How important are your family photos?
Yeah.
And your thousands of music songs and everything for, you know, all the your music library, and for a price of a cup of coffee, back this stuff up.
Well, whether it's backups and antivirus, the two things that you got to make sure that's in order, because you can, like you say, either heartache or and also just putting yourself up to be really at risk. You got to take care of those things.
Yes, and this is very, very inexpensive stuff, Ted. Like I said, for the less than the price of 2 cups of coffee, you can get a really, really good antivirus every month and a really good backup every month. And think about that. And if something happened and you don't have it backed up, your bank account got hacked,
yeah,
all your family photos got lost, that cup of coffee is going to look like a pretty good bargain.
Before we get out of here, real quick, Labor Day tech bargains. You find any?
Oh, yes, Ted. I've been waiting for this. I love shopping sales. Labor Day has a lot of tech sales. Best Buy has a Dell Inspiron 15-inch laptop, i5 processor, 512 gig solid-state drive for $379. It's regularly $630. That is an absolute perfect laptop for a high school or college student.
Yeah.
There's plenty of hard drive space. It's fast. It doesn't break the bank. It is perfect for students.
Boy, so there are deals to be had out there, so be on the lookout for that. And even if you don't need it right now, maybe you want to get it and hold on to it for Christmas. So think about that.
Yes, and any time you can save $200 or $300 on a laptop and find a really, really good laptop for less than $400, this laptop would be enough for 95% of the people out there. It's fast, and you wouldn't need more than this.
And again, when you're surfing the internet this weekend, just remember, don't be stupid. Don't do stupid things.
Don't be stupid. Be careful what you click on.
Dave, the computer guy, with a text in the Berg. Dave, as always, thank you. We'll get together and do this again next month.
Thank you, Ted. Everyone be safe this Labor Day.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.